Hello, and welcome to Armchair Detectives Wanted. This week is our real-life court case, Guilty or Not, a Married Man. The names and dates have been changed, but the circumstances are true. You are now a jury member. Evaluate the evidence and then deliver your verdict. Will you send an innocent person to jail or allow a guilty person to walk the streets?
All rise for Judge Goldsmith. Could the defendant please stand and confirm your name and age? Mr. Edwards, 40 years. You are charged with the murder of Mrs. Florentine. How do you plead? Not guilty. Please be seated. Members of the jury, please take your seats and listen carefully to the evidence that is put before you. This is the case for the prosecution.
I am Mrs. Banderton. I am the sister of the deceased. She was previously married, but her husband died. At the time her husband passed away, she was just 34 years old. My sister was an actress and would take bar work to supplement her income. I first met Mr. Edwards at a hotel at the end of last year. I was introduced to him by my sister. I thought it was strange, but he told me he had fallen in love with her. He said he was the managing director of a company, and he seemed to suggest that he was not without money. He spoke about them marrying. As far as I was concerned, he was a single man. He would visit my sister at home. I did notice that he wanted my sister to stop acting and performing. He suggested he would pay her so that she could leave the profession entirely. I am aware they went to Ireland and discussed marriage. There is mention that I received a letter from Mr. Edwards. I am not aware of it. I did, however, receive a letter addressed to Mr. Edwards. The letter referred to the fact that he had been presenting cheques that had not been honoured. He just said, "I will sort it." My sister said, "I know I have been very foolish. I must go back to my work." I would say Mr. Edwards always treated my sister well. I did not witness any jealousy from him.
I am Mr. Travis. I can confirm Mr. Edwards was the managing director of the company. I have known him for about 6 years. He employed me within the company and always treated me as a friend. I had his utmost trust. I was aware that he was a married man with 3 children. The company, though, had run into financial difficulty. It was to be dissolved. I did meet him on a few occasions while he was in the presence of Mrs. Florentine. I knew that Mr. Edwards' family were living in Birmingham, and he would send them money. It appears there was trouble between Mr. Edwards and his wife. I believe this is why she went to live in Birmingham with the children. I am Mr. Fredericks. I know Mr. Edwards through our business dealings. I received a letter from him. In that letter are the words, "This woman has bled me dry and now deserted me." I must say, I didn't know what he was referring to.
I am Reverend Patrick. Both the deceased and accused Mr. Edwards attended the vicarage and they discussed marriage. Mr. Edwards told me he was free to marry.
I am Mr. Bollinger. I work at the train station. I know Mr. Edwards quite well. I have seen him on a regular basis over the last 6 months. He asked me if I had seen Mrs. Florentine, who I had also got to know. He referred to her as his wife. He said to me, "I've spent thousands of pounds on this lady, taking her away, buying her clothes, and she is now associating with other people." He said, if I saw her, I was to keep an eye on her, as she threatened him. Later that evening, I saw the deceased exit a bar at the station with 2 gentlemen. I could see Mr. Edwards was standing on the bridge. It wasn't unusual for Mr. Edwards to look out for Mrs. Florentine, as he wasn't always aware which train she would arrive on.
I am Mrs. Charlton. I'm employed at the train station. I know both Mr. Edwards and the deceased by sight. Mr. Edwards asked me if I had seen the deceased the day before. He asked if she was in the company of 2 gentlemen. And I confirmed I had seen her with 2 men. I said I knew one of them, but not the other. I told him the one I did not know left the train earlier than the deceased. Mrs. Florentine and the male I did know got in a taxi at the station.
I am Mr. Jakeman. I am employed at the train station. I recall Mr. Edwards asked me if I had seen Mrs. Florentine. I told him that I hadn't. He said, I have had a bit of a tiff with her, and I hear she has been carrying on with other men. He continued, I have taken her away, and this is how she treats me. A short while later, she came into the bar with a gentleman. I saw Mr. Edwards slip out of the side door. He beckoned me over, saying, Do you think she saw me? I said, Yes. He said, That's a shame. I did not want her to see me. He then asked me to go into the bar to see if I could hear what they were speaking about. I wasn't able to hear the conversation, but did see another male join them. I could see Mr. Edwards on the platform. He again asked me to watch them. I saw the deceased and a male leave in a taxi. He told me that he wanted to catch Mrs. Florentine red-handed in the company of another man.
I am Mrs. Herbertson. I own a gunsmith shop. Mr. Edwards said he wanted to buy a pistol. I asked why. He said he was going to Belfast and wanted something for protection. He produced the relevant license and gave the surname Edward, which as we now know is false. The firearm is a Webley automatic that can hold 6 bullets. The gun is operated simply by pulling the trigger and the bullets are automatically discharged. I showed him how to operate the pistol.
I am Mr. Arthurs. I am the assistant manager at the hotel. I received a letter addressed to Mrs. Florentine. I handed the letter to her. A short while later, she was joined by Mr. Edwards. I could see they were both amicable. I believe this is the first time I had seen Mr. Edwards.
I am Mrs. Palmer. I am employed at the same hotel as Mr. Arthurs. Mr. Edwards asked me to let him know when Mrs. Florentine received the letter. When she did, I let him know and he went to join her. They appeared to be friendly and enjoying each other's company.
I am Police Constable Barnett. I was on duty when I heard the sound of an explosion. It seemed to emanate from a taxi that had just passed me. The cab came to a halt. I was standing on the opposite side of the pavement. I saw a woman jump out of the rear door of the cab, as though she was in a hurry. As I ran across the road, she was in the arms of the cab driver. I immediately requested assistance. As I helped lay the woman on the ground, she said, He has shot me. She then went unconscious. I knelt beside her, but she didn't speak or move. While I was attending to the female, I heard a further shot from inside the cab. I could see the female had a wound to her neck and there was blood on her clothing. A short while later, an ambulance arrived and the now deceased was transported to hospital.
I am Police Constable Williams. I made my way to the scene of the offence. I approached the cab from the front. I was on the pavement on the same side of the road as the taxi. I could see the near side door was open. As I looked in the cab, I could see a man sitting on the offside back seat. There was a pistol in his right hand, which was resting on his knee. I heard the revolver go off, so I dropped to the ground and made my way to the rear of the cab. I was joined by PC France. I heard the pistol discharge again. I saw PC France lean through the window of the cab and remove the gun from the man's hand. I could see there was a female lying on the pavement not far from the taxi.
I am Police Constable Johnson. I made my way to the scene. I could see a taxi parked up. I approached the cab. I opened the rear door and observed Police Constable Franz take hold of the revolver from the accused. Mr. Edwards had a wound to his head and appeared dazed. As I grabbed hold of him, he collapsed and fell on my shoulder. I then dragged him from the cab and laid him on the floor. I only heard one shot fired. I could see a female lying on the pavement.
I am Police Constable France. On attending the scene, I witnessed a taxi pulled up on the road. I heard a firearm discharge from inside the cab. I made my way to the front of the taxi and then to the offside door. I noticed the window was open. I could see the accused sitting in the back. I grabbed hold of his arm with my left hand and removed the gun from his right hand with my right hand. After Mr. Edwards had been removed from the taxi, I searched it. I located 5 empty cartridge cases on the floor of the cab. I also found some bullets on the cushion of the seat. I could not see any evidence of a struggle in the cab. I only recovered 1 spent bullet from inside the vehicle.
I am Police Sergeant Horton. I examined the cab. I found a distinct hole in the glass of the window at the rear. There was another approximately 3 inches above that window, and a final hole near the centre of the vehicle. I could see splashes of blood on the inside of the cab. I was then sent to the hospital to recover the clothing of the deceased.
I am Mr. Chant, the taxi driver. On the evening of this event, I collected a male and a female from the local hotel. I was asked to take them to the train station. Before we reached the station, I heard 3 shots in quick succession. I then heard a scream of a woman in the rear. At first, I thought the loud sound was my tyre bursting. I stopped the cab and began checking my tyres. As I did so, the woman got out of the cab and almost fell into my arms. I could see the outline of the man sitting in the rear. I walked with the lady across the road and onto the pavement. At this point, I was joined by a police officer, and we laid her on the ground. After the female had left the cab, I heard a further 2 shots. I wasn't aware of any struggle during the journey. As I escorted her across the road, she said, "Mind yourself, he's shot me, he's got a gun, take me to the hospital." I could see her chest was saturated with blood, some of which went on my coat.
I am Police Constable Erickson. I attended the hospital with Mr. Edwards. He asked where in the hospital the deceased was. I told him I was not aware. He said if she had left me alone, she would not have got hurt at all. He later said, "The doctor did not tell me she was dead. It was her fault. She pressed my hand and got the dose. It was an accident for her, but not me."
I am Chief Inspector Wallace. I cautioned and charged the accused. He replied, "So far as she was concerned, the whole thing was an accident. She would never have been hurt herself if she had not interfered to stop me committing suicide. So far as I am concerned, I intended at that moment to shoot myself."
I am Mr. Neville, the on-duty surgeon at the hospital. The deceased arrived unconscious, but died within 10 minutes. She had a wound to her head immediately in front of the ear. It was just above the earlobe. There was also a wound behind the left ear and 1 at the back of the right shoulder. During the post-mortem, I found a bullet resting behind the heart, between the 2 lungs. It was the bullet to the lung that caused her death. I did not witness any other injuries to the deceased. I also examined Mr. Edwards. During the examination, he stated, "She said she was going to leave me, and I said if she did, I would shoot myself. I was going to do this when she put her hand out to stop me, and it shot her instead." When I told him Mrs. Florentine had died, he seemed upset. He was suffering a concussion caused by a wound to the right side of his forehead.
I am Mr. Arton, the consulting surgeon. I've examined the cab, the clothing of the deceased, the pistol and the bullets. I have had experience of bullet wounds upon the human body. I carried out an examination of the gun and would say, at the time it was fired, it was approximately 6 inches from her face. It is possible that the prisoner put out her hands to stop the accused shooting himself. However, the wound suggests, in my opinion, that is improbable.
This is the case for the defence. I am Mr. Edwards. I met Mrs. Florentine a few years ago. I had fallen in love with her. I took her away and bought her clothes. However, it appeared that she was going to leave me. The business I was involved with was also in financial trouble. I decided to purchase a revolver in order to commit suicide. That night, we were in the taxi together. She told me she was returning to her passion, which was acting. When she told me that, I said, "Well then, I might as well end it all now." I pulled out the revolver from my pocket and shot it at my left temple. The gun fired twice more at the back of the cab. Mrs. Florentine grabbed my hand and said, "Put it down. I did not mean I was leaving you. She tried to twist my hand and the gun went off. Due to the panic, I was gripping the revolver tightly. It shot her in the head. She did shout, "Stop the cab, I've been shot." As I was gripping the gun in horror, it went off again. I then shot at my right temple. I saw Mrs. Florentine stagger across the road. I then went unconscious.
So, members of the jury, you will now hear the summing up both for the prosecution and the defence. Please listen carefully to what is said before you. Members of the jury, I will be putting the case for the prosecution before you. It is my role to summarise the case for the prosecution. However, I think before I begin, you can see there is only one outcome, and that is one of guilt. Mr. Edwards does not dispute he is the one that pulled the trigger. He is the person that led to an innocent member of the public being killed. He confirms that he loved her and that they wanted to be married. However, he failed to tell the deceased he was already married. He is in fact the father of three children. His web of lies and deceit had begun. He then began to control Mrs. Florentine. He stopped her enjoying the thing that she enjoyed the most, acting. It wasn't long before he started to watch and follow her. He was intensely jealous. We have heard from witnesses how they were asked to watch her. They were asked to listen to her conversations. The witnesses were asked to follow her. When Mr. Edwards was told she was seen with two other men, the rage began to stir inside him. He jumped to the wrong conclusion. We have heard how he then purchased a pistol. It was purchased under a false name, and he provided a false reason for buying it. He continued with his lies. At that point, he had made the decision if he couldn't have her, then no one else could. On that fateful night, they were sitting in the taxi together. Why did he have the pistol with him? He wasn't travelling to Belfast. He wasn't in any fear. So, members of the jury, why did he have the pistol with him that night? It's obvious he had already planned to kill her. When she told him she was going back to Acton, he realised that was probably the end of their relationship, and he didn't want that. He drew the pistol and fired it in her face from a distance of just 6 inches. We have heard the cab driver state there were 3 shots in succession. The deceased had 3 bullet wounds. That, ladies and gentlemen, is a clear intention to kill. He was intense with rage in the back of that cab. She was leaving him after all he had done for her. Members of the jury, he wasn't going to let that happen. So he shot her at point blank range. That is murder. Thank you, Your Honour.
Members of the jury, I'll be putting the case for the defence before you. Ladies and gentlemen, this is a tragic accident, and one Mr. Edwards deeply regrets. So much so that he tried to take his own life. You have heard from the deceased sister that he treated Mrs. Florentine well. You have heard how there was never any jealousy between them. Everyone states they got on well. Mr. Edwards confessed that he was in love and they were going to marry. We have heard how they began making plans. It is agreed that Mrs. Florentine wanted to return to her passion of acting. This unfortunately led to the downward spiral for Mr. Edwards. He believed he was about to lose the love of his life. His business was in financial trouble. It was becoming too much for him. He decided it was time to end it all. He decided on suicide. He bought the gun with the intention of killing himself. He had seen his future wife with 2 other men. He was scared this was the end of the relationship. He didn't have anything left to live for. While in that cab, he produced the pistol after the deceased had told him she was going back to her life of acting. He then said, "Well, I might as well end it all now." He was now going to end his own life. He pulled out the pistol to shoot himself. At that moment, Mrs. Florentine screamed and tried to grab the gun. She tried to turn the gun away from the accused. The gun went off. It fired in that struggle. Mrs. Florentine is accidentally struck by the bullets intended for Mr. Edwards. This, members of the jury, is a tragic accident. You have heard how Mr. Edwards told the police officer at this time that this was an accident. He has maintained the same account throughout. He told the surgeon, "She said she was going to leave me, and I said if she did, I would shoot myself. I was going to do this when she put her hand out to stop me, and it shot her instead." On being charged by the police, he said, "So far as she was concerned, the whole thing was an accident. She would never have been hurt herself if she had not interfered to stop me committing suicide. So far as I am concerned, I intended at that moment to shoot myself." Members of the jury, ladies and gentlemen, if you consider this evidence in detail, you can see this is a tragic accident. You must therefore find the accused not guilty. Members of the jury, it is now time for you to retire from the courtroom and consider your verdict. Thank you for taking the time to listen to the evidence in this case. I must remind you that to find the defendant guilty, you must be satisfied beyond any reasonable doubt of their guilt. On your return to the courtroom, you will deliver your decision. The verdicts available to you are guilty of murder, guilty of manslaughter, not guilty. If you find the defendant guilty, what is your sentence? And it can include the death penalty. Please visit our Facebook page, Armchair Detectives Wanted, where you will be able to discuss your theories and views with other members. It's now week 21 of our scenario. The husband is now re-interviewed and provides an account. He states they had been happily married until recently, when they were hit with financial problems. This placed a strain on their relationship and they began to argue. He says on that night the children were staying with friends. He argued with his wife. She pulled the knife from the drawer and was going to stab him. He took the knife from her, which caused a small cut to his finger. He washed his hand in the sink. He then left her and went for a drive to calm down. He says he did not kill her. What would you do? A. Charge him. B. Release him. Thank you for listening to Armchair Detectives Wanted. You are not one of the team. Remember, don't just listen, be involved. We really would appreciate you recommending our podcast to others. We look forward to you joining us next week for episode 22, A Broken Down Vehicle.